This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Take, Lord, receive all my liberties, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. Give me only your love and your grace, and that will be enough for me. Amen. Happy Father's Day. In case you're thinking we went through an awful lot of trouble to decorate the church for you today, this is the aftermath of our vacation church camp this past week. And it was a theme of Kingdom Rock, and it was an amazing week that we spent together. This is the quietest this church has been since we met last Sunday. And if you see some people in the pews who just can't help doing hand motions to the hymns we sing, give them a break. They're just trying to get over vacation church camp. It was about a kingdom and a king that we talked about this past week. And if we look to traditional views of English literature, there are a lot of Shakespearean type of plays that end up being tragedies about kings. It always has to do with someone who has a potential for greatness, but they have a great fall. And the great fall usually has to do with their pride, their inability to sort of let go and realize it's not all about them. There is a difference in English literature between a tragedy when it ends like this because of that tragic flaw of the person, as opposed to a comedy that has a happy ending because the people sort of realize their state in life and we laugh and we move on. The stories that we hear in the readings today are all about this. There is, on the one hand, this tragic flaw that we can have that we think we're not good enough, that we think there is no way that we deserve to receive God's grace. We think that I'm just too bad. I've sinned too greatly. I am not worthy. That can be as much of a tragic flaw as the other extreme, where we would say, I don't need God's grace. I'm doing fine on my own. Thank you very much. I'll move on with my life. We have both extremes that are somewhat represented here. We have this woman, and notice in Luke's gospel in this story, he doesn't give us her name, and he doesn't tell us what her sin was. All kinds of things go through people's heads when we hear that there's a woman who's a sinner, and it really is erroneous to assume that because Luke does not tell us what sin she had. But he's making a point that this woman sort of represents this side of the equation. But she is willing to come to Jesus and place it all at his feet and to anoint his feet and to cry and to weep. And she, in that special way, then receives God's grace. On this Father's Day Sunday, with this particular gospel, I always go to an anecdote of my experience of my own dad. Because my dad was a baseball player, and he just loved the fact that his youngest son was aspiring to become a baseball player. And I would go out into the yard and take those plastic wiffle balls and throw them up in the air and hit them with that plastic bat and go get it. Come back and do it again, and would just entertain myself for hours doing this. And one particular day, Dad was inside, and I threw that ball up, and I hit it, and I whacked it, and I knocked the heck out of a window, and it went into smithereens. And I was scared to death. Oh my gosh, what is he going to do to me? I walked around the block for about an hour trying to figure out, should I run away from home? Should I create a story that Johnny, the neighbor, what should I do? And finally I decided, I'm just going to tell him. And I went to tell him, and he wanted to come out and see this window and where I hit the ball from, because he was so proud that his son could hit a plastic ball and break a window with it. It was all grace. And we can be on that side of the spectrum and think that we are not worthy, and yet we are. You can look at that reading from Galatians today, and Paul has got this classic struggle going on that he had in his own life, and that's why he's so powerfully adamant against it, because he knows this is the way he was living his life. It was all about the law. It was all about adherence to the certain way of doing things, and if you did that, you would make yourself justified before God. And he's making the point today that, well, if I can live my life in such a way that then God, I deserve God by what I do, then I really don't need God's grace, do I? Because I can just earn it. And he's saying it's not about that. It is the grace of God that is just given to us. Whether we've broken the window with the baseball or not, the grace of God is there. Now we can go on this other side, and we've got Simon. Simon just doesn't get it. Simon, this Pharisee, what's going on here? Simon doesn't even do the basic things of hospitality that one would be expected to do for a guest, let alone this incredible rabbi, teacher, miracle worker. And so this story has to unfold that Jesus wants Simon to understand, you're ridiculing her. At least she understands this concept that's all about God's grace. It's not that we can do this ourselves. That's what gets Jezebel and Naboth in trouble in that first reading. They think they're just going to take fate into their own hands. They're going to kill somebody off so they can get what they want. One of the basic stories of the Old Testament. That no, God is God and we do it God's way. Because the grace of God is given to us. This is what we celebrate on this Father's Day. And if you were blessed with a dad who was able to mirror for you this unmerited grace that is God's gift to us, well, then rejoice in that and give God thanks for that. And if your dad is still around, thank your dad for that gift that you have received. If you are a dad and you've received that, then pass it on to your own kids. And if you were not blessed with a father that was able to mirror God's love in that way, then as a wise priest friend of mine used to tell me, then don't make the same mistakes yourself. Get over it and learn from it and live your life differently. And to mirror God's grace in the way you live. Some years ago here at St. Joseph's, we did a small group study, and it had to do with what's so amazing about grace. And there are a lot of quotes and stories from a guy by the name of Philip Yancey who has written a lot about this. He has one particular anecdote that I think is very appropriate for today, when he reflects upon grace and his own experience of his own father. One time on a visit to his mother, who had been widowed years earlier when he was only 1 year old, they spent the afternoon together looking through a box of old photos. He saw a certain picture of himself when he was an 8-month-old baby. It was tattered and bent. The photo looked too banged up to be worth keeping, so he asked his mom why, with so many other better pictures of him at that same age, she had kept this one. And he writes, "My mother explained to me that she had kept the photo as a memento because during my father's illness, it had been fastened to his iron lung. During the last 4 months of his life, Yancey's father lay on his back, completely paralyzed by polio at the age of 24, encased from the neck down in a huge cylindrical breathing unit. With his two sons banned from the hospital due to the severity of his illness, he had asked his wife for pictures of her and their two little boys. Because he was unable to move even his head, the photos had to be jammed between metal knobs so that they hung within view above him, the only thing he could see. The last 4 months of his life were spent looking at the faces he loved." Philip Yancey writes, "I have often thought of that crumbled photo, for it is one of the few links connecting me to the stranger who was my father. Someone I have no memory of, no sensory knowledge of, spent all day, every day thinking of me, devoting himself to me, loving me. The emotions I felt when my mother showed me the crumbled photo were the very same emotions I felt one February night in a college dorm room when I first believed in a God of love. Someone is there, I realized. Someone is there who loves me. It was a startling feeling of wild hope, a feeling so new and overwhelming that it seemed fully worth risking my life on." Whether you are at a stage in your life where you are more leaning towards feeling that you are not deserving or worthy, or whether you are on the side where you are feeling perhaps that you really don't need God, I urge you, on this Father's Day, come back to the center and receive that grace. Don't live a tragedy. Live the comedy and have a happy ending. Amen.